I would like to read firstly from Hebrews a very special word. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
Des ewigen Erbes empfangen sollten. Denn wo eine letztwillige Schrift.
For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator.
Errichtet hat, nachgewiesen werden. Eine Stiftung wird ja erst nach.
For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has enjoined unto you. And now also verse, what is it? 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. We pray. Almighty God, what a wonderful word, a summary of the whole plan of salvation that concerns our redemption. I ask you, lead me now through your Spirit to say what you want to say. Beloved Lord, this is my wish, my desire. I'm not here to be heard. I'm standing here to give you the opportunity to speak through me, to use my lips. Lead me through your Spirit and bless us all by grace. In Jesus' name, amen. This word, since a conversation with a millionaire from Hamburg that I had with him recently, just 3 days ago, in Jakarta, it really touched me. He studies, he seeks in all religions, and suddenly he asked me, I didn't ask him, he asked me. and said, "You seem to be very interesting to me. I would like to speak with you." And I said, "Whether I'm interesting to you, I don't know, but I'm ready to talk with you." And then he said, "Can you tell me why in our Christian faith a redemption through suffering, through shedding of blood, had to take place? Can you explain to me why the Christian religion, as the only one, through suffering and through death, through the shedding of blood, promises to the people salvation?" I don't want to go here into the details of this conversation, but he listed all the other religions and said, there they meditate, and there is this and that. Why? Why? If there is a God in whom I believe, why didn't this God see any other possibility than that, to redeem through the shedding of blood? And this was, for me, the core issue, the crucial question that touches the core of the whole thing. And I tell you, in all my life, in all the years in which I preach, I didn't think so thoroughly about this question as since this conversation. And now it comes. Now it comes. Listen very closely. All who read the sermons of Brother Branham, they know what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? All? All who read the sermons of Brother Branham, they know what happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan, with his craftiness, used the serpent, and thus he came into humankind by a begetting to spread here, and thus came, pardon me, a human animal being came about that became part of us since birth. Now God had to find a way through begetting, through divine begetting, to come into the human kindred to redeem us from this corruption, from this being lost, from everything, to make out of children of men again children of God. And therefore, this wonderful revelation of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell you, tears came into my eyes when I was thinking about all this. And then there are people whom you also most certainly met, who then just say, "Huh, Branham, all well and good, but what he says about the Garden of Eden, of the fall, this is a catastrophe. To this one cannot listen to. This is terrible." Did you experience this once, that people speak to you like that? I experienced it dozens of times. The greater this became a revelation unto me, the more grateful I became to God for a man, William Branham. And you know why? To him was revealed, what really happened in the Garden of Eden. And against this, the devil and all his servants lash out. We, who have seen it by revelation, rejoice that we know in what the fall consisted, to know why the redemption had to take this course to us as the human kindred, bring us back again to the divine kindred. This is the fundamental truth of our redemption. If you ask today a theologian, redemption, from what being redeemed? No man knows it. And this we don't say out of arrogance. This we say of thankfulness toward God. What a grace that we may see here the enemy who wanted to scotch God's plan with humanity. And thus came into the human kindred through this hybriding, through this strange begetting in the Garden of Eden. And then the promise in Psalms 2, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. The beginning of the creation of God, the beginning of the divine kindred to which we may belong by His grace. I don't know how you think about it. I could rejoice. I could jubilate. I could raise my hands and thank God. It was not a theory in the Garden of Eden which caused the fall. It was a deed, a perverse deed. And God made well this damage. He became man through begetting to shed holy blood on this earth, to bring us back again into this divine stand. One question. Did you all read Leviticus 17, verse 10 and 11? The life of the body is in the blood. No one was allowed to eat blood because the life is in the blood. Why? We just read it. Without shedding of blood, no remission. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. Before Adam and Eve were chased out of paradise, blood was shed. The Lord needed skins to be able to clothe them. Before I can have a sheep skin to clothe someone, the sheep must have given its life. And the scripture says, He clothed them in skins. Already, directly in the Garden of Eden, God showed what it is actually about. Let us take here Acts chapter 20 from verse 26. There it is somewhere written that God, maybe I read it, depending on the translation, that the Lord purchased the church by His own blood. There were translators, and also this man was one of them, who had problems to use the word God here. And they used the word Lord, but actually the word God belongs here. I read from the book of Acts, chapter 20, One moment. Verse 29. Is it this verse? My glasses are a little fogged up. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the Church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Did you hear it? That you feed the Church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. In the body of Jesus, our Lord and Redeemer, flowed divine, holy blood in human veins, a human body for a specific purpose. It is written already in Psalms and also in Hebrews. Sacrifice and burnt offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. A holy body, holy blood that was shed. I would like to remind you on John 20. It is the description of what happened on Calvary. And there is no comparable day in the history of mankind as the day on Calvary. There where our Lord gave his life and redeemed us and pardoned us. What I would like to read is John 20, namely from verse 14. One moment. Maybe from verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, I want to briefly say why I read this text. Jesus said early in the morning, on the resurrection morning, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father. But go and say to my brethren, do we understand what it is about here? He is the firstborn among many brethren. I read another word from Hebrews, precious. Precious, beyond measure. Hebrews chapter 9, from verse 11. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Did we all hear this? Having obtained an eternal redemption for us. Listen. When on that morning Mary Magdalene wanted to touch the Lord, he said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended." It was right after the resurrection. You can read on in John 20. Thomas was allowed to touch him. The Lord said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy hand and touch me and see that it's me." What happened? The Lord, as the high priest, with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. And he has put the blood upon the mercy seat and obtained an eternal redemption on this earth and confirmed it in heaven. Here is the blood of the new covenant. I claim my people from the Old and the New Testament. I don't know what you feel here. I'm not able today to, by a special way of speaking, put somehow weight on the thing. But I'm overwhelmed, totally overwhelmed of the plan of salvation of our God, of the redemption of everything. And there are people who believe in the oneness of God and who cannot place that the Lord suddenly says, "Tell my brethren, I am not yet ascended." Look, our beloved Lord had to become all in all. He had to become the Lamb which taketh away the sins of the world. He had to become mediator of a new covenant. He had to become advocate. He had to become everything what was necessary for the whole plan of salvation. People stumble over it and say, "Huh, shall he then be God? Can he then? He can be everything. He can be God and man at the same time. He can, if need be, the Lamb of God. He can be high priest at the same time. He can be advocate. He can be mediator." You cannot put the Lord God into a shape and say, "That's how you look like and that's how you are." God is all in all. He reveals himself as it is needed according to the plan of salvation. This reminds me actually on something. In a hotel in Manila, there was the word written chapel. Yeah. And I thought, all right, go inside. Maybe you can speak to someone. And it was a Catholic chapel with an image that should show Jesus, the knees totally bruised, with red ink painted, totally scarred. And I thought by myself, it is written, they wanted to break, you know, they wanted, but they were not allowed. It was not allowed to break one bone. And I thought, O God, what have people, made out of the holy thing of God? And again it came over me. I turned, my tears dropped down, and I thought, O God, give me the grace and the opportunity to tell all of mankind, but really to all of mankind, the Word of God. To the Hindus, like the Muslims. To the Sikhs, like the Buddhists. To the Christians, no matter what kind. And finally, last but not least, to the people of Israel. We know very well that the two witnesses will come there. But somehow, it is upon our hearts that God, with all his plan of salvation, somehow reaches the completion and makes the climax with us and then with the people of Israel. By the way, it reminds me on this man from the Ukraine. I was able to communicate well with him. If one knows one Slavic language, then one can speak the other ones as well. And I asked him about the faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, oh, I believe. Our churches, he says, are so beautiful. And since Gorbachev is in power, they were all repainted. And inside, you should see it. Everything has become so different, so nice. Then I had to say, listen, I didn't ask you for this, how the churches look like. I asked you whether you believe. And then I had to show him briefly the difference. And I said, church is one thing and the Lord God another. Oh, he says, and somehow he rejoiced. The people have lost the orientation. They know nothing at all. Ask today our fellow citizens here in Central Europe what is going on, what God wants. Nobody knows it. All of theology lies in wickedness. All the churches and denominations, everything. Certainly, it maybe belongs to a Sunday or to the course of a so-called Christian faith, but a relationship with God, a connection to God, a fellowship with God. Who has it today? Who has it? And now we come to the core of our sermon this afternoon. That what happened on Calvary happened to bring us back into fellowship with God, to establish the connection, to take away the middle wall of partition, to give peace to them who may have part in the redemption by His grace. To this, one doesn't need a catechism. Nothing is needed. Only to hear one sermon, a sermon of Jesus Christ, the crucified one. And when then in you, precious heart, when then in you comes an inner agreement, a love to your Lord, when it's awakened, then God called you already. Then God called you. Not only religion, not only a bit Christian entertainment, connection and relationship with God, fellowship with God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do we now understand what it means. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1. And then John 10. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. Do we have to be preached awake? Must something happen with us? I hope so. I hope that God overwhelms us so much, but really overwhelming us so much, and anoints our eyes with eye self, so that we see what God has really done. Please understand me. I have seen the world from above and from underneath, from everywhere. I have seen the people of the various religions in their doings, how torn my heart is in everything no man can imagine. Their holy sites, holy mountains, holy buildings, holy this, holy that. Our brother Davis comes from India. There is the holy cow. How often I watched it, how people take the cow dung. Did you hear me? The cow dung. They have roasted it and put the ashes upon the forehead. And like this they walk around, and this is then the holy ashes of the holy cow dung, of the holy cow. And of such there are then 750 million people on earth who have never heard the message of God. Do you understand how I feel? Oh, that God give me, before I leave this world, that He gives me the chance, the possibility to all the world bring the Word of God, the Word of the cross, of the reconciliation, of the redemption, of the justification, of the salvation, that they all forget their holy sites, holy things. Who made these holy things? Who made the cow holy? My goodness. There is only one who is holy. God says, I am holy, and ye shall be holy. He, the holy God, sanctifies His people in the truth and says, my word is the truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. You notice that I'm troubled inwardly, that I'm totally battered of everything what I've seen and heard. And then thinking back on this representative in Manila who says suddenly, why didn't we hear anything of these things until today? The answer is very simple. Because all the evangelists whom you invited until now, they know nothing of it. And then I had to say, a great judgment will come upon all US. Is this a German term? Upon all evangelists who witnessed the ministry of Brother Branham, who have seen him, who were eye and ear witnesses of that what God has done. And then they went to build their own kingdom within the kingdom of God. But this, what God said through Brother Branham, they left it aside, left and right. This was not for them. They just profited of the thing. I don't want to stand in the shoes of these great evangelists on the day of judgment. Today we are despised. Today we are these Brenham people who believe this and that. Somebody told me, who can be so naive and believe that? Yes, I said, I can. I have no trouble with it at all. But what is it? It is revelation. If it is not revealed to a person, it's dark. It doesn't flash. Basically, everything in the kingdom of God is based upon revelation. Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have hidden these things to the wise and prudent, but revealed it unto the babes. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! He revealed it unto us. What can I for it? Probably I've said it here before. Back then, I sat among 16 to 20,000 people in the meeting of Brother Branham. I was very young. I didn't know anyone, also not Branham. But I sat there. I heard. I listened. I don't know whether I said it here before. 1955, a profession in our country was a rarity. He who had one had to keep it. There was not a 40-hour week. There was a 60-hour week. Some can still remember it. And I said in my company, on short notice, I have to go away for 1 week. And the answer was, this is impossible. And I said, this must be possible. And then the answer was, when you come back, then you can fetch your discharge papers. I said, all right, then I will fetch them. I only received a postcard. A man by the name of William Branham speaks there and there, from then until then. I had no time to arrange myself, but one thing was in my heart. Don't give a damn about anything. There was such a draw, I cannot tell you. I never drove so fast with my motorbike. I had no car, just a motorbike. The times were different. But among all these thousands of people, clerics, parsons, plenty of them, men with turned around collars, evangelists, preachers, plenty, all were there. One group there, one group here, all were talking, some were criticizing. In my heart, there was only one thing: thankfulness. My tears rolled down for hours. I have never experienced a night as then, on that Sunday, from Sunday to Monday, when I wept until 3 o'clock in the morning, out of thankfulness. I always wanted to stop. I said, Lord, I must stop. I can't anymore. There's no moisture in me anymore. I saw in what kind of way God used this simple man so majestically, so wonderful, so perfect, so convincing, so biblical. I saw before me a book of Acts. I saw the days of the Bible before me with my own eyes. I didn't see Jesus Christ as a historical person who lived 2,000 years ago. I saw Jesus Christ in our midst, speaking, working, saving, healing. Yes, please understand me now. What was left to me but to thank, and with this thanksgiving, tears of joy were connected. No sorrow, no pain, thankfulness. I only had to say, Lord, is this real? Do I see this? Can I grasp it? What is happening here? Blind-born people receive their sight. People with cancer, incurable, on the stretcher, brought in. They were healed. They took their stretcher, put them over their head, and walked out. I watched it. I saw what God did. And then I was joined inwardly with this man of God. But so deeply, this was, I don't know whether you have seen a photo where Brother Branham is boxing. He was a boxer. He has won some trophies, probably new for you. But I have a whole album with photos of Brother Branham of various occasions. This simple man who stood earthly with both feet on the ground, he was the greatest man of God since the days of Jesus Christ. God sent him not only to do signs and wonders, God sent him with a message. And this I also had to say to a man, somehow, this elegant Pentecostal preacher in Jakarta, he all of a sudden asked me, Brother Frank, tell me, was the voice of the Lord who spoke to you like the rushing of many waters? I said, no, absolutely not. The voice of the Lord on the 2nd of April, 62, before sunrise, was not like the rushing of many waters. It was clearer than I speak here now. Every final syllable emphasized, the voice was mighty. This man wanted to know whether it was a rushing of water. No rushing of waters. I know the voice can be like the rushing of many waters. This I know. But when the Lord spoke to me, it was no rushing of many waters. Distinct and clear. No syllable, no letter was left out or swallowed up. After, as the Lord spoke, I could have made commas and full stops. Absolutely. Just very mighty. Very unique. The more thankful I am that I received the grace without wanting it, without seeking for it, to carry the ministry of Brother Branham into all the world and to continue it. But to this man, I really had to say, please hear me now. From today on, you have taken over a responsibility which you didn't had earlier. From today on, you know what it's all about. And then I told him, on the 11th of June, 1933, at around 14 hours in the afternoon, when Brother Branham was about to baptize the 17th person, he lifted up his hand and prayed, O God, as I baptize with water, so baptize you me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it happened. It was like a thunderstorm. And the light came down. And the voice sounded as John the Baptist foreign the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. I believe this absolutely, not only because I heard it of Brother Branham a couple of times. I have seen personally between 10 and 15 eyewitnesses in April 1966 in Jeffersonville, Indiana, USA. I have seen them who raised their hands when it was asked who was present when in June 1933 this happened. I of course tried to count the hands. In such moments it's not always possible to be 100% sure and to stand one's ground before God with it. And therefore I estimate the number between 10 and 15 people who raised their hands, who have seen what God did. And just imagine, there are people, even today, also from the USA. There was a neighbor of Brother Branham, and he said, I know of nothing. We may hear whether in Zurich, in Switzerland, in Austria, Germany, wherever, all over the world, there are people who see it, others don't see it. There are people who hear it, others don't hear it. And therefore our Lord says, blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears, for you see and hear what prophets didn't see. Beloved, I say this probably because to show us again what a grace was given to us. And this same man, after we dealt briefly with the revelation, I probably said it already, his answer was, this all preachers, all evangelists, they must hear it. That's impossible. I said, oh yes, it's possible. And I hope that God will also open the doors there. The time is just here. We have said it at the transition of the year 87 to 88. The time is not only at hand, the time is here. The time is here. Whoever wants to serve God, let him serve him now, not tomorrow or next year. He who wants to dedicate his life to God, let him do it now, today. Whoever wants to believe, believe today. To think it over, there is no time for it. There is also no need. Why should we think it over here? For us, that what God has done is an absolute reality. I don't know how you feel. Do you still have to convince yourself? Or did God convince you? Amen. Amen. That's a thing. And then, not only convinced, but grounded biblically, a foundation with all the promises which God had given, which He brings to fulfillment now. We not only preached, we preached God's word. We not only talked, we said that what the Spirit has to say to the churches now. We spoke about that, what God promised to His people. We didn't thought around God or spoke around Him. We have given Him the opportunity to speak through us, to address us, to say unto us what He wants to say in this time to His people. If one, as I said, travels through the world, Then one hears of great campaigns which should take place here and there. Campaigns for who? Campaigns for what? To be celebrated? To have great success? To maybe get a few dollars? There's only one campaign of God, and this is according to His Word. Back to the Bible, back to the truth, back to God's message, acknowledging what God is doing in our days. Nobody will make clear to me that He ascends to heaven, but is bypassing what God is doing now from heaven. This doesn't work. And of them there are very many. This you should really witness once in the charismatic movement, here and there. The people stagger from left to right and are hovering somehow on the clouds. What will be on that day when our Lord returns to take His own home? Who are they? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They will not follow a stranger. And His voice is His word. The Lord, our God, has a blood-bought multitude here on earth, whom He reconciled with Himself and re-established the fellowship. And by grace He has given us eternal life. I'm grateful for it. My Lord and Redeemer accomplished the work. He obtained an eternal redemption. Receive it. Please, be ye reconciled with God. Accept it. It's a gift. God's gift of grace. Should somebody be today in our midst who didn't accept it yet, I ask you, accept it today. Jesus Christ is not only a historical person, He is God manifested in the form of a man. He is Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. He is King, Priest and Prophet. He is many things. He is all in all. He realized every area that belonged to the redemption, no matter what role had to be played there. He took on the role and became what He had to become for our sake. Today, we remember in a very special way, not a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the hill Golgotha, but a coming by faith to the Lord, inwardly touched, saying, O Lord, this I meant to You. I was worth that to You, that You gave Your life for me. And then the tears come. Then we see us as miserable creatures and recognize at the same time that God has pardoned us. Our Lord and Redeemer went with His own blood into the Holy of Holies. I think on one conversation with a Jehovah's Witness, I will never forget it in my life. He just said, the blood, this was soaked into the sand. Oh no. And again no. The blood of the Lamb did not drop into the sand. My Lord, as the Lamb of God, He shed the blood. And as the High Priest, He went with His own blood into the Holy of Holies. It did not vanish in the sand. Even today, the blood of Christ speaks better than the blood of Abel, or of bulls or calves. Today it speaks for us. May I ask how and what it says? I tell it to you. It acquits us. Amen. It acquits us. Amen. It doesn't condemn us. It acquits us. Glory be to our God. Do you love Him with all your heart? Do you love the Lord really with all your heart? Do you love the Word, the revealed and wonderful Word? Sometimes I did it again. I kissed the Bible a couple of times. For you, probably incomprehensible. But there are hours, there are minutes in which I'm totally alone. And then it seems that I'm in the Spirit, so deeply connected with God, and I'm laid into the deep things of the plan of salvation, that I just can't anymore. I cannot do otherwise. Then I take my Bible and I kiss it here and kiss it there. This might be strange to you. You also don't have to do it. This I do. It touches me just so much, I cannot explain to anyone. Just imagine, after about 2000 years, for the first time, the Word, in its original significance, it was so clearly revealed, now, not earlier, now. And God used one of His servants, our beloved brother Branham, to bring us back to the Bible, back to the Word. Are you grateful for it? Do you believe it with all your heart, that He was a man sent from God? If He was a man sent from God, then He had a divine message. If He had a divine message, then we must hear it. And if we don't hear it, woe unto us. For our Lord says, He who hears you, hears me, and he who receives you, receives me. It's not the question. I said it here before. The people ask then, what is your position to Branham? Yes, this also exists. There are different people and different questions. But about this, we don't want to judge now. That's not the point. But it's about a position to God. And when my position to God is right, then it's right to all whom God sent, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, or not. You cannot separate the one from the other. For instance, John was a man sent from God. One cannot just say, go wherever you want, I go where I want. This doesn't work. When God sends men, and this happens very seldom, sometimes I also think about this. I was even asked, what would happen when the Lord would suddenly take me home? It is a question that can be asked. Every person is replaceable. And when I today was thinking about that my beloved brother Werner would make today the beginning, there one thought came to me. I don't know anyone who so much desires to serve God. I know many who would like to serve God, but not one as you, who has it so deep in his heart to not only be a believer, but to be found in the service of the Lord when the Lord comes. And I thought by myself, O God, bless my beloved brother and give him the privilege before your coming to see the desire of his heart fulfilled. The same I wish all my beloved brothers. Maybe I don't know the other brothers so well or didn't perceive it from the conversations. should there be brothers in our midst who inwardly have a desire, a longing to serve the Lord, beloved brothers, may it be given to you by God before the Lord comes. Ye shall see with your own eyes that God is faithful and confirms his word, and that you were not the fifth wheel on the wagon, some kind of spare tire that has to help at a breakdown. But when God will make the last round with his people, then also you will have a part in it. Beloved sisters, the same applies for you. We are all in the same boat, whether prayer or ministry, doesn't matter. Deeply joined with God and deeply joined with one another. One wishing the other the best, but really from the heart, that one can say, O Lord, bless my brother, bless my sister, have thine own way with us. Let us, in closing, come back to this one word. Our Lord entered the Holy of Holies and obtained an eternal redemption for us. For you, for me, for us. When we are redeemed, then we have a connection to our Redeemer. And then we hear what he has to say to the church. May God give grace to it, that we could be brought into conformity with him and his word in such a way that everything is really in harmony and God could use us without shedding of blood, no remission. Once again, because the fall was as it was, therefore the Lord had to find a way to on this earth take upon flesh and blood to bail us out and to bring us back into the divine stand. What Satan corrupted, this God made well again in Christ. No one needs to get lost. Everyone can be saved. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A full and free salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has acquitted us, has forgiven, has reconciled us with God. The damage caused was made well. Wonderful Calvary, wonderful Calvary. My sin is forgiven, my debt is paid for, as the hymn goes. We are free. Can you rejoice about it? Can you rejoice? Free, eternally free, no imputing of guilt. There are, of course, not only businessmen who sometimes write out two bills. The devil can also do that. He writes a totally new bill with some kind of date, and it says this and that has to be still paid for. You all know it. But then let us remember, Satan has no right to write any bill and say, this has not been paid for and this not. Then we simply say with all our heart, the letter of requirement is torn. My guilt is paid for. My sin is forgiven. I'm free. I'm free. Jesus gave me the life. I am free. I'm free. And then, hallelujah, as this hymn goes, I wished us sometimes a mentality as the Africans have it. They would have ripped half the hall together for sheer joy at such a speech. But I know we have a Middle European time and also mentality. We bear it very, very deep in us. We can just not express it. And yet, let us today thank our beloved Lord, who became man, who suffered so much, who took everything upon him, and then shedding his blood to redeem us. Let us thank him today, really with all our heart, but all together, please, really, without any if and but. There are people who cannot pray freely, but when we all thank, brothers will thank loud, and we all tune in, and thus we will give our Lord today the due thanks with all our heart, not out of necessity or compulsion, but just out of love for that what he has done on us. And also for the mighty privilege in this time, amidst all the confusion and all directions and explanations and interpretations, to have been shown a divine direction through his precious and holy word. With all my heart I say, if the Lord would take me home today, the preached word is true. We know in whom we believe, and we know what we believe. We believe in God, and we believe God. We believe God's word without any if and but. And thus we have the connection to God through the word. He, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the only true and almighty God, may he bless us today with a blessing which he has given to mankind through Calvary. He promised the blessings earlier. He has given it through Calvary. May he bless us with that blessing which he has given us on Calvary in Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the scripture, how should God not with him also freely give us all things? Oh, one could go from one scripture to the other. Let us experience it today. Experienced truths are the best truths. Today we can experience the Lord very personal. He's not far. He is in heaven and he is present. According to the scripture, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He is here today. For thus he said it, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word remains forever. The scripture cannot be broken. From this journey, I returned thankfully. Thankful for that, what God has done. Thankful for the open doors, but also thankful for all of you. I was longing for it, to be here. And when it seemed as if it would not be possible anymore, then it was just done with me, a sigh to God. And I said, Lord, this may not be. I love my brothers and my sisters. I want to be in Zurich. God made it possible. The Lord, the Almighty God, bless us all by his grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand up and worship. Also I, today, at this place, I want to thank you with all my heart. Thanking and again thanking for the salvation, for the forgiveness, for the love that you proved to me and to many others, thanking that you have spoken to us, that your word became alive, that we may believe, as the scripture says, also in these days, we may hold fast to your word, that we may line up with your word. O beloved Lord, despised in this world, as the prophets and apostles were, and as it's also written of you in Isaiah 53, despised of men, shunned, you went, today we go, but we bear the precious seed, a wonderful seed, the precious, the valuable, the holy word of God. Beloved Lord, more and more we understand it, what it means. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. With all my heart, I thank you, beloved Lord, my Savior and my Redeemer, for the privilege that you, back then, let me see your servant and prophet and witness, that I could be an eye and ear witness, and that you opened unto me for this special ministry mine eyes, that I could recognize it without my doing, that he is the servant and prophet being sent by you to bring back your children to the faith of the fathers, to the word. Here we are, beloved Lord, at the end of the end time. Lord, sometimes I also get impatient. Forgive me. I know that you planned everything, you set everything in an order, and everything runs according to your plan. Here we are to thank you for Calvary. Lord, because the fall happened in flesh and blood, therefore you had to put on flesh and blood to redeem us. O God, I thank you for this revelation, which has become an offense to many. To us, it has become for our salvation.